Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish, angari. Glory to God. I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
Say, I'll never be poor.
Ah! Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
And then we started talking about taking care of that temple, taking care of the temple. What temple now? Your own body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. How do you take care of your body? Because all this is about preserving the temple. So how do you preserve your temple? And we began with physical care. You have to take good care of your body physically. Some Christians have been so foolish. I remember one time also, I believe I must have told you this, that I was so zealous, you know, and caught all this revelation as a student. And then I told somebody that we were going out together on evangelism. I said, I wouldn't need to rest. I mean, I wouldn't need to rest at all. The guy was like, you need to rest. So you've been working. I said, I don't need to rest. The guy says, why? I said, because how could I rest? I have the life of God in me. I don't need to be resting. I'm not ordinary. You understand? You know, at that time, I was talking based on my limited understanding. But as I studied the word of God for myself, I discovered that you need to rest your body. Because you see, your body is the ticket that God has given you to be here. If you lose that ticket, you lose the right of being here. No matter how anointed you are. Once you lose that body, you cannot be here anymore. The only thing that gives you the right to remain here is your physical body. And that's why demons don't have the right to be here. We cast them out. They always want to look for a body to possess. Okay? Angels don't have physical bodies. So angels are here, but you can't see them. Okay? They function here, but you can't see them. The Holy Spirit himself understands this law. And so for the Holy Spirit to carry out his ministry here to a greater level, to his best potential, he needs a body. And that's why it dwells in us. Because the only one that has the right to be here is the one that has this terrestrial body, this physical body. So if you lose that body, you lose everything. You know what I mean? Every right to be here. The next thing is you translate into the other realm. Okay, and that's why you see when some when somebody just dies, you see, he has left the body and he's still around the spirit and he's trying to get the attention of others around. He doesn't understand that he has left. So he's trying to get someone to hear him. They can't hear him. He thinks he still needs to be here. Until finally, he has to go. Because he has lost his right to be here. So it's smart for a Christian to take care of your body. And we discussed that extensively, quite extensively. You need to take care of your body. Good hygiene. You see? Good hygiene, your diet, watch your weight, exercise, and so on and so forth. They will help you a great deal. Exercise your muscles. Help your heart beat right. That's being smart. Then we talked about, of course, the second thing, the second way, preserving your temple. And the Bible talks strongly about that again and again in the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 13. We talked about that. The Bible says, flee from fornication, run, when you use your body like that, you're misusing your body, and so you are breaking it down, you destroy it, because the body is not for. Maybe we should just read it. We read it really the other time. The body is not for fornication, the Bible says, it's not for fornication. When you misuse anything, when you misuse anything, you damage it early. You ruin it. You frustrate it. So your body, the Bible says, is for the Lord. So when you use it for fornication, you first of all open the door for the devil. The devil can come in anytime. That's the reason for STD. Those are demons. You see? It doesn't matter even if you are a Christian. It doesn't matter if you are anointed, if you are a man of God. Because you have broken that law, you misuse your body, you can have demons into that body. Anytime. No wonder some people at the age of 40, they started having problems with their bodies already. Because while they were young, they did a lot of, they sinned against their bodies. That's what the Bible says. Well, let's read this. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Say, be ye separate. Did I give you a verse? Verse 13. I wonder how you got here. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is this 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians. Can you imagine? It's the one telling me. We read it last week, right? Yeah. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay, but we will still go to 2 Corinthians because I still have something to show you there. And God had both raised up the Lord, and we also raised up us by his own power. Next verse. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. And I explain what that means. An harlot. Who is that harlot? What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. Two, says he, shall be one flesh. That's exactly what it means. When you have sexual intercourse with someone, your body becomes one. And that's why whatever, you must have heard this expression, you thought they are trying to scare you. When they say, some pastors are preaching and say, any demon that fellow has, you can carry it too. He may not really explain why, or the pastor too may not know why or how, but I'm showing you now. That's because your body has become one. And so, the very demons that are functioning in that fellow's body has the right to your body. And so, that's why many have carried the same demons. And they got different names. I just mentioned STD the other time. Those are demons from the other fellow. So you open the door for them to come in. Why? You have broken something. The Bible says, he that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. So you open that door. And that's why your body should be very important to you. If you understand what, as a Christian, if you understand the purity of your body, you will never toy with it. Come on, let's read on now. Okay, next verse. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The one that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I also explained that. All right, let's read on. Flee fornication. Flee means run. Don't wait. Run. And like I said, when God said, resist the devil and he will flee, is the same word. He will flee. He will run as in terror. You know when somebody runs with fear, the same thing. He says run, just like Joseph did. Run with fear. When you just find yourself in that situation, flee. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. That means is outside the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. That's the reason some people will say they have arthritis. They are not up to 50 yet. Arthritis is working in the body. Problem with their bones. Problem with the muscles. Their eyes have problem. And so on and so forth. You're wondering, what happened? At what age? Because the body has been misused. But then you see some other people, you're wondering, how old are you? Say you're 70. And you're wondering, 70? And you're looking this smart. You see, ask her or ask him. He will tell you his principles since he was young. Next verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? After all, it's my body. No, you are not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on. For ye are bought with a price. See, I'm bought with a price. Boy, excuse me. If I heard that I was bought with a price, I would love to know who bought me. Don't you understand? That's where we start from. Who bought me with this price? That's how I would know how much I was bought. Don't you get it? If you told me that it's so and so, and I looked at the guy, his estate, he doesn't have what it takes. I look at him. This one that is suffering, struggling. How much did he buy me? Ah, what a shame. Because you'll be imagining, how much could he have been able to pay? But then, if they told you that somebody like Dangote, no, not Dangote, somebody like Apostle Victor, peace and glory to God, bought you, you say, excuse me? He bought me? Wow. Then, you are excited. You've not heard the price, but you're already dancing. He bought me with a price. Ah, I'm really valuable. You think I'm valuable. I'm valuable. Now, you can tell me how much. And then they give you the numbers. You say, ha! Or the figures. Wow! Then it makes you appreciate yourself. But brothers and sisters, the one that bought us, Kazo Fre Endo Gista Prahakte, this one is not a human being. This is God Almighty Himself that bought us. And the Bible clearly shows that He didn't buy you with money. He didn't pay gold. He didn't pay diamond. He didn't pay silver. He paid the most expensive. Do you understand? He gave the most expensive thing to get you. The most valuable thing to get you. The precious blood of Jesus. Don't you understand? His only son. He gave his life just because he wants to get this you. This old, bad, wicked you. That's what you're thinking. You think this old, bad me? This wicked me? Do you mean somebody will pay that much? His only son that he loved so much. He slew him to get me. He slew his son to get me. When you give for anything, in exchange of anything, whatever you're giving will be the value of what you're getting. That means, as precious as this is to me, okay, I'm giving it to get that which is equally precious. That means, in the mind of God, when He was giving His Son to get us, in His mind, we are as precious as Jesus. No wonder God, Jesus Himself, was praying to God in the 17th chapter, book of John. Jesus was praying to God. He said, I want the whole world to know, Father, that You have loved these people just as You have loved me. Not 1% higher. That means God loves me as much as He does Jesus. Hey, say hallelujah! How can you not tell me not to square my shoulders and talk bold and walk like a king? I'm so precious to God. Putting this mind, having this mind, He says, therefore glorify in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So both your body and your spirit belongs to God. He says, glorify God. Don't let anybody, you ladies, let any guy to be touching you anyhow. And you are smiling. Your body, you have to say, stop that. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're trespassing. Never. It's true. Somebody says, is it only the ladies? Even the guys too. You know, guys don't always like to talk. The girl is just, I want to help you remove debt. And he's rubbing your, she's rubbing your neck. And you're just smiling. Oh, he's there. Thank you. Because you are enjoying the hand. Ah, no. The temple of the Holy Ghost. You ought to say, excuse me. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So you see, that's 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, back to where I wanted to show you before this gentleman brought us here. Verse 13. Now, for recompense the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Excuse me, who is he calling righteousness? Are you seeing what's there? Who is he calling righteousness? Us! And you are calling yourself sinner. No, he says no, no. God is talking. God says righteousness. You say, no, me, I know I'm not. I can tell lies like drinking water. He says your righteousness. You don't look at that. God is looking at something else. He says your righteousness. Says, for what fellowship at righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion at light with darkness? Whose light? No wonder Jesus said you are the light of the world. My goodness, so I am light. Everywhere I go, I shine. Glory to God. Next verse. And what concord at? Yeah! I don't say it though. Ah, but I'm going to say it anyhow. What concord at Christ with Belial? Who is he calling Christ? Somebody saying, yeah, that one, leave it. I want to tell you. The Bible says that Jesus is the head. We are the body. Have you ever called the head a different name and called the body another name? Would that not be stupid? I mean, this is the head. So we say, Melvina, come. And the body wants to come and say, I'm not calling you. It's not you. It's Melvina I'm calling. And the head rolls down. It's not possible. The Bible says that Jesus is the head. We are his body. So we are called by the same name. So what are we? Christ. Oh, glory to God. So we carry the same name. We didn't make that happen. Listen, you see, if you're raised in a poor place, poor background, from a poor background, or from one church, you've been in a church where they have made you feel so bad about yourself, you feel like there is nothing good that will ever come out of you, things like this will be too big for you. You'll not be able to accept them. You'll be uncomfortable. You know, you'll be hearing something like this. You'll be doing... Your ear will be doing wah, 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 wah. Hey, I can't accept this. They are making us gods. Nobody's making you God. God already made you a God. You understand? He made you so. He says, ye are gods. And all of you are the children of the Most High. So he by himself called me by his name. What part has he that believeth with an infidel? You see, what would that tell you? He's telling you who you are. He's letting you know the importance of your identity in Christ. And then most importantly, your body, which is his temple. Let me show you something else. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I didn't give you number 3 last week, right? So let me give you now so we can enter into that for time. Present your body. That's the third way to preserve the temple. You present your body. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1. You present your body to who? You will see that shortly. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body is a sacrifice that is alive. Do you understand? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this word. Take that to the Amplified. I want us to read that first verse from the Amplified version. Oh, look at it. I love Amplified, I'm telling you. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. You see, you've got to decide to dedicate your body. My body belongs to Jesus. That's important. The Bible says God is a jealous God. If he dwells in your body and your body is his temple, and then you that body, you join it, you know, they are doing one party somewhere, playing the wrong song, you are there. This your body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost, you are there shaking it to the wrong song. Foolish song. You're shaking it. Shaking your body. The temple of the Holy, with the Holy Spirit inside of you. You are shaking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, stop now. You're saying, okay, well, you're smart and wise. You make a decisive dedication of your bodies. You say, no, I don't dance to the wrong songs. No, I don't. I don't shake. Some people, they don't think. But just as they are going, any small bit, they started shaking before they catch themselves. Ah, what is this now? You see, you've not made a decisive dedication of your body. You've not. Listen to what that guy is singing that is coming out from that speaker. Very dirty words. Nonsense things. Immorality pouring out. And you are enjoying it and you are dancing to it. Look at it. Presenting all your members. What do you mean, your members? Your ears, your eyes, your legs, your foot, every part of your body, every member, presenting them. Every member, your eyes, what do they look at? What are you going to make them watch? Your ears, what are you making them hear? This is Christianity. Christianity means walking with God, walking with Jehovah as though he exists. And in reality, he exists. But you have to be conscious of this fact. And then he says, faculties. This one deals with your reasoning, your mind. What are you going to dwell on? What are you going to be thinking? What are you going to be meditating? What are you going to be imagining? You take a hold of all these things. As a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. Let it be well-pleasing to God. Brother, you want to walk in the anointing and you want the anointing of God's Spirit to flow through your body, you must do this. Otherwise, your body becomes a non-conductor. The anointing will not be able to flow through. If you want the presence of God to permeate your body all the time, this is important. That body must be dedicated, given unto God. Why? Because your body is actually his temple. I told you, the word temple, the Greek, if you translate it, means shrine. Shrine. A place of worship of the Holy Ghost. His own shrine. That's your body. The shrine of the Holy Ghost. Not just the dwelling place, but his shrine, where worship is done. And I told you that your spirit is the holiest of all. Which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship? Your body. Did you notice service there? Why is it saying service? The service of God is done in your body. You want to carry out service of God, you do it in your body and with your body. For instance, how could you lift your hands now because of your body? Lift your hands towards heaven. How could you come out here and you sing for God? That's carrying out service unto God, worshiping God, praying, and all of those. You're using your body. You go out to win souls. That's your body. That's your body. That's where the service is done. In Hebrews chapter number 9, let me show you something there. Reading from the first verse, I want to compare this to the Old Testament temple now. Okay, now, even the first covenant had its own rules and regulations for divine worship. The first covenant. Now, we are under a different covenant. So, even that one had its own rules and regulation for divine worship. And it had a sanctuary, but one of this world. But one of this world. For a tabernacle, tent, was erected in the outer division or compartments of which were the lampstand and the table with its loaves of the showbread set forth. This portion is called the holy place. Say the holy place. Don't forget it. Now, this holy place is the first. I told you that tabernacle is divided into two. The first part of it, or first compartment, is where the priest will come in. They will carry out service. They want to wash this. They want to sacrifice this. This first part. And he just told us what that one has. That first part. Then, the inner part is only for the high priest. He's the only one that had the right to go in there. And he went in there only once in a year. You wouldn't just say you're drunk and then you stumble into that place. The way you stumbled out. Because right there, you're dead. That place is the holiest. And that was so important. Now, I want to link that. Next verse. But inside, beyond the second curtain or veil, there stood another tabernacle division known as the Holy of Holies. That's the holiest of all. That's the inside now that I just described to you. All right, next verse. Come on, quick. It had the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered over with wrought gold. This ark contained a golden jar which held the manna and the rod of Aaron that sprouted. This doesn't look... Oh, now this is amplified. Take it to King James. This one is making us read too much sentences. Okay. The golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. We don't know where it is right now, actually. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So, the priest will go into the first part of it, accomplishing the service of God. What would that tell you? Your body is the first part of it. So, where you carry out service is your body. Your spirit is the holiest of all. Let me tell you about that one. Next verse. But into the second went who? The high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Inside that place went who? Only the high priest. Only the high priest. Today, the Bible reveals that Jesus Christ is the high priest. And that he came into that tabernacle once and for all. He didn't have to be coming every year. Where is that one now? Where is that holiest of all? Your spirit. Jesus Christ came in once and for all. That place is permanently holy. So Christ is in you now. Your body is out where you carry out the service. But your spirit is where Christ dwells now. I will never be ordinary in my life. You can't know these truths and see yourself as ordinary. Never. You can't even have these truths and permit some things in your life, in your body. Say it's a general sickness. My daddy has it. My granddaddy has it. My great grandpa has it. It's a family sickness. That's what we nurse. And I know if God, my children too, we have it. Are you born again, brother? Yes, I'm born again. I'm born again. You have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Spirit. That means your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I know my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ought to say, you are a fool, brother. How could you? Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is God. And it lives inside you. It tabernacles inside your body. Permanently. He has come to take his abode on the inside. How could you be ordinary that way? What does the Bible say? Romans chapter number 8. I want to show you something. For those of you that you accommodate sickness a lot and you are dancing about it. Some people say it fashionably. It's just malaria. It's just this. I have migraine. Migraine. You're using phonetics to pronounce sickness. Let me show you something. And you are even accommodating it. You're not doing anything about it. Say this thing got God. Because sickness is... They usually come to get rid of you. Don't you understand? The reason the sickness will come is to come and see your hand. You are the one to say no. And listen to this. There are some that they come, you know, you treat it, they are gone. You treat it, they are gone. No, it's not going to stop there. They will keep coming. They are your visitor. So they come, they've come to visit again. They say, we are around again. So then one day will come. If you don't do something about it, they will come and say, we are not going again. We are staying. That's what they say to somebody. He has never been sick like this before. But this particular sickness dragged. That sickness said, I won't leave. I'm not going again. The visitor has come again. I will never be sick in my life. Let me show you this. Let me show you this one. Verse 7. Verse 8. If I should start from here, we won't go. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. How many of you have the Holy Spirit here? Now listen to me. If you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Bible says, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. By one spirit. And I've been all made to drink into one spirit. We've been all made to drink. So the day you were born again, the Holy Ghost came to dwell in you. And that's why we cannot say your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If it does not dwell in you, your body is not his temple. We'll just be deceiving ourselves. So every child of God that is born again, the Holy Ghost, actually what made you to be born again is the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have a union, connection with God. Who made that possible? The Holy Spirit inside of you. If it's not in you, you have no connection. I understand how some people have said that after you're born again, then a day will now come that you will now receive the Holy Spirit. I used to preach that too, but I discovered it's a lie. It's not true. It's not true. The Holy Ghost came to tabernacle in you. That's what made you a child of God. The day you were born again, he came to dwell in you. Now, don't mix it up with the book of Acts. When it talks about the Jews that are still waiting to receive the Holy Ghost, that's a different matter. The Jews are different from the Christians. And that's another day's talk. I believe I explained it in another message. Okay? So when you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost. And we just read it now. He says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you don't belong to him if you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. So the day you were born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. That's what makes you a child of God. All right, now with this in mind, let's move. Next verse. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if you have the hard copy, who has the hard copy? King James. I want you to turn there. You will see certain words are italicized there. If Christ be, look at it, they put it in bracket. It's not in the original. They just have to put it in so that it will make much sense. But sometimes when they are putting those words in, it could be misleading too. Because sometimes the translators don't really get the whole thing. Because you have to understand translators. Those translators were not necessarily filled with the Spirit. These were just people, professors of Greek, professors of Hebrews that came and translated. So they would put in their best, what they felt should be there. But when you read with the mind of the Spirit, and if you understand the whole body of truth, you will get it that, no, not exactly this. He says, and if Christ be in you there is okay, is good. The body is dead, not necessarily dead. It may be, the body may be dead because of sin. Because your body is not dead. Is your body dead? It's not dead. But the Spirit is life. The Spirit gives its life because of righteousness. So if your body be dead because of sin, the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Because righteousness has come. Do you understand? And righteousness is the nature of God. All right, next verse now. Never you forget this one. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does it dwell in you? Yes, it dwells in me. If that Spirit dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Is he lying? He says, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Let me tell you about the death of Jesus. Jesus was really dead. Jesus was very dead. You have to understand it. And to even confirm further whether he was really dead on that cross, the Bible reveals that the soldier that was there, one of the soldiers, took a spear to test it whether he was dead. Because he thought, this is too early. Usually when they hang someone like that on the cross, because Jesus was not the first they would do that to, they did this from time to time to robbers, to those they accused. It's a way of shame. They want to shame that person, so they bring him on the cross. The Bible says the cross represents a curse and is also a symbol of shame. So they wanted to really humiliate Jesus, and so they put him on the cross with the thieves, not with righteous people, with thieves. And then They were surprised. It was supposed to take like 24 hours or 48 hours for a stronger thief to have passed away, or even 72 hours. But this time around, in a few hours, this guy is dead. And the Bible revealed that he commanded his own death. He so cried. That was the first thing that got the attention. How can somebody who is about to die cry this much? His voice was supposed to be weak.
You know how your own video.
But this time around, not that way. This guy cried with a loud voice. The Bible says when the soldier that stood by saw the way his soul cried and heard it, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. He cried and then gave up his own ghost. His head dropped. He said, is he dead? We don't think so. He's not going to pretend in this place. So they went to look for a spear. Since they couldn't reach where he was, and that soldier took that spear and forcefully pierced it into his side. And that thing went into his heart. And then he pulled it out. And when he did, the Bible reveals that water mixed with blood came out, which signified that his heart had broken. That means he was really dead. That was the first place that Jesus shed his blood for us. And when he took that thing out, he said, now he's dead. So when they said they wanted the body, and Pilate inquired if he were dead, they said he's dead. And so the body was brought down. Plus that, they took the body and embalmed it. They embalmed the body of Jesus. So that body had hardened. The only thing that was, the only part that was not embalmed was his head. And the Bible says they couldn't complete that embalmment because it was Sabbath. So they left it. It was Passover. And so they took Jesus like that into the grave. And then on Sunday morning, now remember Sunday, it's not Sabbath day. Saturday was, if we were to calculate it for them. Okay, on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, the women came. Let's go and complete the embalmment. But when they got there, they noticed something strange. The grave is empty. Jesus is no longer there. Ah, that got their attention. They said, ah, so the woman started. Who has taken the master away? Listen, the Bible says it was the Holy Spirit. The corpse that is dead had been embalmed. You understand? The man that is dead, his body had been embalmed. That thing has hardened. The Holy Ghost overshadowed that corpse. And wow, he opened his eyes. Came out. This was a different kind. Don't you understand? Others that were raised by prophets. Raised by a man of God. Raised by someone. Jesus was not raised by anybody. The Bible says the glory of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought his body. What did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit quickened that body. The word quicken there means to make alive. So the body came back alive. And Jesus stepped out. My goodness. You know, at the time he stepped out, his blood had been drained on that cross. Jesus doesn't live by blood anymore. His blood is gone. Now listen, it was not his ghost that came back. It was that body that came back. They said your body needs blood to live. Right? Is that not what they say? But Jesus said, science, no. You see, he came out with no more blood in his veins. He came out and walked around in that garden. And while Mary was still there, oh, where have they taken my Lord? Jesus, Mary suppose he was one of the gardeners. And Jesus said, Mary heard that voice. Recognized that voice. He said, Master. She said, Master. She was trying to go to him and worship him and hold, let's say, don't touch me. He said,
What happened, Master? Ah, you've forgotten me. That's not the point. He told her the reason. He said, because I had not yet ascended to my Father, your Father. He says, go and tell my brethren that I ascend to him. My Father, your Father. My God, your God. You see how Jesus is calling it? As in now, he has become your Father too. Now he has become your God too. Why? Because he has paid the price. He said, go and tell them. And then Jesus took off, went right there into that place in heaven. Where we've been reading. The holiest of all, the real thing in heaven. The Bible says he went there in the book of Hebrews. It says he went there to present his own blood. He went into the holiest of all, like that high priest would do on earth under the Old Testament, and present the blood of animal. This one was the blood of Jesus. And because this is the blood of human being, a fellow human being, it must not be done twice. So he went once and for all, presented his blood on that mercy seat. And when he presented it, the Father said, it is accepted. That means no more payment for sin. Hey, say hallelujah! That's why we don't have to kill any animal again. You don't have to sacrifice anything to pay for your sin. Did you mess up? Just turn to God and say, Father, I obtain forgiveness for my sins. Brother, when you say it or when you do it once, don't say it again. Don't go back and say, Father, that sin that I asked you for yesterday, I'm back here to... I remember it again. Forgive me. Or the devil comes around and tells you, you're still walking around. You that you did that bad thing. You say, of course, but I asked God for forgiveness. And I've repented genuinely. The devil said, no, that's not all. Who told you he heard you? What? Who told you he heard you?
He said, it's true. I don't feel like he heard me.
It has nothing to do with your feelings. The Bible says you cannot please God without faith. You must believe that when you asked him, God is faithful. That's what the Bible says. He is faithful. So he is faithful enough to forgive you. So when you ask, in fact, in reality, can I tell you something? It may shock some of you. Can I tell you something? Hey, no, maybe it's not for this class. Things like that should be shared in programs like 3 Days of Revelation and Power. I can't tell you that. But let me just show you something. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 27. 17, not 27. Verse 17. Yeah. Read it, everybody.
No, you didn't see it. Read it, read it. It is not true. You are lying. Read it.
Who's talking? This is God. God under the Old Testament was planning for the New Testament. He says, in that New Testament, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will cause them to do. Under the Old Testament, the law was outside. So you will go, if you want to know what you have to do to please God, you go and read. Thou shalt not steal. Ah, thou shalt not steal. I will 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 not steal. Then you mistakenly say, ah, have you forgotten what you read? Ah, I'm sorry. Take it back. I will not steal. I will not steal. Under the Old Testament. Under the New, you see, that didn't work. And God is smarter than men. God knew that it didn't work. Many times God will come and terrorize them. Just to make them afraid so that they will do that law. He will show up on the mountain. Bah! Mount Sinai. And there will be fire and thundering and lightning. One day God said, Moses, tell the people that I want to meet with them. So all of them gathered in front of their tents. They were waiting to meet with God. And all of a sudden, they said, what is that? Moses said, it's God. He has come to meet with you. He said, eh? And then fire, boom, thunder. Just want to terrorize them. You just shake them up. And that's what they said, Moses, tell him not to talk to us. Tell him to tell you. Anything he tells you, you come and tell us. So we can't stand this one. Ah, why is he terrorizing us? What is the matter? You see, God tried it. It didn't work. So God is smart. So God thought of something to do. God said, what I'll do this time around is this. I won't put the laws on tables of stones. I will put it in their hearts. In their hearts. And then God put it in your hearts. That's the reason why. Inside you, when you do something wrong, you are disturbed. You may even do the thing, you know, willingly you did something wrong. But after you're done,
you feel guilty, you go and sit somewhere. Why? That thing is inside your spirit, is in your heart. God has written it there. For them, when they did it, they didn't feel bad. They killed somebody and so they did not know, God gave us the law. Yeah, let's go and sacrifice animal. You see, that's how they did. But under the New Testament, we don't feel comfortable with sin. Do you understand? If you notice that you begin to feel comfortable with sin, you are not born again. You need to be born again. If you're truly born again, when you do something wrong, your heart will be troubled. Your spirit will be weeping. Do you understand? But then, don't push it to the limit. Don't let the devil take advantage of it. The devil may come and say, all right, now you said you are no longer righteous. But you've asked God for forgiveness. The moment you ask God for forgiveness, let it go. God heard you. You have to trust him. If you don't trust him, then you don't believe he exists. That's what the Bible says. It says God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For anyone that comes to God must believe that he is. That means he exists. You must believe that he exists. And if he exists, his word is real. If his word says he has forgiven you, then take it that way. He has forgiven you. Period. So you ask God and say, Lord, I receive forgiveness and I repent from this sin. I obtain forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Then you tell yourself, I won't go in that direction again. But as you step out, maybe 2 days after, the devil brings the picture again. Say, you didn't remember how you were rubbing the girl's head, how the whole thing started. Then you saw the picture again. You just,
what's the matter with me?
You're punishing yourself. Then you go back to God and say, Lord, please, that sin. When you come the second time, say, Lord, please, that sin. He doesn't know what you're talking about anymore. Why? Their sins will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. We just read it in the book of Hebrews. He will not remember. And if God says he doesn't remember, you say, you must remember. Who is lying? Will you force him to remember? Say, I'm free. Say, hallelujah. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm a God carrier. Say, everywhere I go, I carry God. I will not be disadvantaged. I'll never be small in my life. I'll never be diseased in my life. I wish I could tell you something about that sickness part, but that would be another day's talk. Stand to your feet right now. If you do pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Put your hand around your body and pray in the Holy Ghost.